Prime Minister Theresa May has spoken to Sinn Féin and the DUP and is insisting that Stormont can still be saved. Is the woman deluded? Have we been all taken for an absolute ride over the last 13 months or so? Or is there some bright hope? Are you in hopeful mode at this moment in time, or are you just looking round blaming people?
We had a draft agreement by the end of last week. At that time, we advised the DU leadership that the deal should be closed before those opposed to it could unpick everything that we had achieved.
We didn't reach an agreement. I regret that we didn't reach an agreement because they were insisting on having this freestanding Irish Language Act. That's not something that I could sign up to, and I was always very clear about that. I was clear last year and I'm clear this year.
Counted all our reasons, excuses that we made. We found ourselves some treasure and threw it all away. Oh, what you waiting for? No, what you waiting for?
We made it clear that if there was a delay, that there was every chance that the package would unravel. And so it came to pass. The DUP failed to close the deal and then went on to collapse the talks process.
Sinn Féin said, we must have an Irish Language Act, and until we do get it, we're not going to go in and form a government. We haven't said that. We haven't said anything about an Irish Language Act or anything else that prevents a government being established.
When I lose control, I know I'll go. Blame it on me. Oh, what you waiting for? No, what you waiting for? What you waiting?
It's a question that will be asked over and over again. What are they waiting for? Or is the waiting actually over? A line has been drawn and we can all move on and ignore them. Let's speak to Barbara Werty. Barbara, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well. Very much a commentator on a variety of issues happening the length and breadth of the land. Most of it on social media, on radio and in newspapers as well. Barbara, what do you make of it? Are you in hopeful mode or are you looking around trying to blame someone?
Well, Frank, you know me, I'm usually the most positive person in the room, despite evidence to the contrary. But I have to say that this debacle this week has left us all open-mouthed. The level of incompetence and poor communication that has been shown by those allegedly in power of Northern Ireland, or trying to be at least, it's humiliating when that is shown on the world scale or on even on the UK-wide scale, because if we don't know what to make of it, what on earth does somebody looking in from the outside think? You know, we had the Prime Minister, the Prime Minister's come on Monday, the mood music changed incredibly quickly over the weekend, all the commentators were writing what they were saying, they hadn't seen any sight of a day, nobody had been talking about specifics. But all of a sudden, you know how it goes. We all know how this goes. Let's face it, Frank, we've watched this happen 101 times. So I think it was fair to say that expectation of a deal was fairly high, especially when the big guns came in. But then whenever Arlene gave her interview, making it clear that they were not going to go for a standalone Irish Act, you knew that there was something very much wrong in the dynamic of the conversation happening this week. And then obviously now we sit here and I mean, to be fair, I don't think anybody could say they really know what's going on at the moment.
But in a nutshell, because I want to go to Tina as well, Tina, yes. Calder, who's going to be speaking to us. In a nutshell, who do you believe? Do you believe there was a deal and Arlene reneged on it? Or do you believe there actually was little more than some form of chat, maybe an accommodation that wasn't a deal, but nothing had been agreed and actually Mary Lou is overstating it now?
Well, I think that I don't believe that Mary Lou would be out saying what she's saying if she didn't have some means of backing that up. I would also say that not everybody can be wrong. It's not just Sinn Féin who are saying that there has been an agreement or an accord or some framework that had been put in place to be discussed with grassroots. That's leaking out of all parts of the boat. It's coming out of the DUP. It's coming out of the Ulster Unionist Alliance, etc., in the middle as well. So that's cast well and truly out of the bag. And we could see that last night with Gregory Campbell doing a lot of verbal gymnastics on The View, trying to dance around the actual definition of what was put forward. But I don't believe there's any doubt at all that there was something on the table, and that what's happened is the horses have been spooked in unionism for whatever reason, for however that's been put out to their grassroots. And that, I believe, is why we sit in this situation today.
Okay, do stay with me, Barbara. I want to speak to Tina Calder as well. But here's just a reminder of one of the things that Mary Lou McDonald said.
We had a draft agreement by the end of last week. At that time, we advised the DU leadership that the deal should be closed before those opposed to it could unpick everything that we had achieved.
That's the line that jumps out at a lot of people, Tina, before people could unpick what we'd achieved. You could argue that if it's going to be unpicked that quickly, it wouldn't be much of a deal.
Absolutely. And one thing I don't want to be seen as is a supporter for Sinn Féin or DUP. However, if you're going to put a deal on the table that you think needs pushed through quickly or someone will find a fault with it, it was never a deal in the first place. It wasn't going to work. And I think people are absolutely delusional if they think that these continual deadlines are going to do anything. I mean, this is like a naughty child continually doing the same thing over and over again. If you do that again, I'm going to ground you. And they don't get grounded. You're going to do it again, I'm going to ground. I mean, I think I don't want it to happen. I really, truly don't. But I think the only way to resolve this is to get to direct rule and get people understanding what the consequences of their actions truly are.
Do you get yourself in a position where you have no hope now whatsoever for devolved government, or is it a desire for direct rule that you have?
I have no faith or trust in our political system in Northern Ireland, nor do I believe that any of our politicians who are on the higher echelons of the talks are doing this for their constituents. I don't believe that anyone in those talks is acting on behalf of or in the best interest of the electorate that put them where they are today. And I think if we went back to the polls, it would be very, very different. I'm not saying that we would lose Sinn Féin or DUP from the leading parties. What I think we would end up with a very big shake-up of what people actually think about these parties, the policies, who's delivering them. I've got to the stage now where I'm going, our children and the vulnerable in our society are far more important than anything that they're up there fighting about. We're losing money. The health, education, voluntary sector have had their budget slashed, frozen, screwed with. I mean, we're talking, it's chaos behind the scenes. And of course, because we're not seeing the abject chaos in its entirety, we're kind of sailing along thinking, oh, we'll get somewhere, we'll get something sorted. We always do. Well, I'm sick of waiting for we always do. I want our institutions to be able to spend the money that's sitting there ready and waiting for them. And I want my child and other people to benefit from that.
Yeah, but Tina, do you live in the same Northern Ireland that I live in? Because there is the possibility that there could be an election. And, you know, I'm not a betting man, but there'd be people out there go past the bookies who'd be more than happy to take a bet with you that if there is another election, the two largest parties will be the DUP and Sinn Féin. Not only will they be the two largest parties, they'll actually be back with a greater mandate because people in Northern Ireland will vote orange and green.
I'm not entirely sure that they'll come back with a greater mandate. I do believe that as a result of a lack of strong leadership on the moderate unionist and moderate nationalist parties, that we are not going to have anyone really coming up against them anytime soon. But I think what a new election would do is force people into really asking questions. And I mean, I know I come from a unionist community. I'm certainly very much middle of the road myself. But the community that I come from, I know that there are many people who either didn't vote or they did vote, and they're saying to themselves, why didn't I use my vote more cleverly? Why didn't I, you know, this is ridiculous. They're not representing me. They're not putting, you know, people are now looking at and thinking about what they've lost rather than what they might lose in the future.
So as far as lack of hope is concerned, you're spelling yours out in capital letters.
Totally hopeless with this. Absolutely. And call me naive, but I do believe there is a better solution out there than putting these monkeys up in Stormont into continual talk after talk after talk. I mean, the reality is a bunch of 9-year-olds could have sorted this out by now.
Well, that is damning analysis. But Tina, thank you. Thank you for it. And finally, Barbara, who's still on the line and able to speak to us. Barbara, you know, that point about if there was an election and it is one of the options, are you with Tina that for some reason, with no evidence whatsoever to back it up, that the DUP and Sinn Féin would start to fail?
Frank, you know, I would love to suggest that there would be a fall in their star off the back of this, but I think that would be probably hopeful or wishful thinking. What I would say, though, is that, you know, we've spent this past 14 months with the parties viewed in the middle being shut out, with only DUP and Sinn Féin at the table. And I understand that's been frustrating for everybody, but what has been particularly frustrating is that those parties who have been shut out have not come together to present an alternative to what we currently have. They have not come together to present a roadmap for their alternative view as a group for Northern Ireland, a separate pitch for government, if you will. And if we do come into another phase of elections, we know what we're going to get from the DUP. We know what we're going to get from Sinn Féin. But we don't know what we're going to get from those centre parties. And I would implore them that if ever there was a time for them to focus on what they actually agree with each other on, rather than the small things that they disagree with each other on, now is the time to come together. Now is the time to seize the moment and at least show Northern Ireland or the people of it that there is an alternative way to this farce that we have been living through this past 14 months.
Yeah, but the SDLP, the SDLP are mad keen on the Irish Language Act. Robin Swan's party are hell-bent on stopping the Irish Language Act. We just have two different parties doing the same fight.
But, you know, Frank, that's the problem. Looking at just the Irish Language Act is exactly the problem. I would implore them to look at what they actually agree on and put some of those bigger issues, those issues that are so sticky, to the side for the good of people of Northern Ireland. I'm not suggesting a coalition before we go down that route or anything along those lines. But what I would like to see is an alternative narrative for the future of where we live. I would like to see some ideas, because I've seen them on the View and on View from Stormont and on every show for the past 14 months, all sitting there wringing their hands about how they can't get anything done and nobody will talk to them and there's no transparency. But what I haven't seen them do is take an alternative course of action. And they'll say that they've published their suggestions, and they've said that they've put forward policy papers, and there's no doubt that they have, and there's excellent detail in those. But what they do need to now do is provide a cohesive narrative for the people of Northern Ireland. They need to fashion a ladder that we can climb our way out of this mire. Because really what we have at the minute are politicians who are not fit for purpose, and a government that, even if it does get back up and running, will have huge question marks over its functionality and over its sincerity. So what I would implore really now is, let's try to look at what an alternative would actually be. Let's see what that looks like from those parties who have been shut out.
Well, both yourself and Tina are in agreement that the politicians seem to be, and I don't want to put words in your mouth, but more or less useless, and the option exists of direct rule in some form. I know Sinn Féin will argue that you can't have direct rule, but in some form there will be a form of government from elsewhere. It won't be from Stormont. Do you think maybe a dose of that is, as Tina suggested, what we need?
Well, this is it. You know, Tina made a very good point there about the consequences of actions being felt. But my concern is that the consequences of those actions will not be felt by those who created this situation. It will be felt by people like normal people, ordinary people, working people out there who are already struggling. So it's not in the best interest for us to go to direct rule, because that, as we all know, that brings with it a whole raft of dangerous measures coming into Northern Ireland, which we'd managed to hold off with the Assembly. So, yes, while we can say, wouldn't it be great for them to reap what they've sown here, it won't be them reaping it, Frank. That's the problem. It'll be the rest of us who are already trying to struggle on, you know, without a government, and many of us with question marks hanging over our jobs because of the lack of budget and the lack of funding. So, you know, we do need a budget. It has to come. It's not going to come from Stormont, so it has to come from Westminster. We don't know what that's going to look like, and we can hope that they're going to be favourable with us. Again, another petty budget. Wouldn't be the first of those that Northern Ireland has received. But, you know, I think we're tired of being the part of the UK that's always getting the handouts. We're tired of being the one who gets everybody's pity. You know, it didn't fail to go unnoticed, Frank, that a lot of what's been going on here has not made the UK main headline news at 6 o'clock. You know, we're not that important. So I think like a short slap like that might put some people, some perspective in there for people. But really what it's going to mean for the vast majority of us is more penny pinching, is more uncertainty. And just more, and you know what worries me most, Frank, is the creeping in of that apathy. You know, where people just think, you know what, this, we'll just put up with it. Because people in Northern Ireland do that. They just put up with things because they've had to. But I would like to think that in this day and age, we've realised that we don't have to. There is another way to the circumstance that we find ourselves in now. And I would hope that this would motivate some people with fresh voices and some energy to put themselves forward and say, you know what, this isn't right. And how can we change our society? Because just like Tina said, this is a disease. We're passing this on to the next generation. We have kids here coming up today who are passionate about politics. We weren't even born whenever Good Friday was agreed. So what are we doing? That now is the time for us all in society, whether political or not, whether you vote or not, to sit down and take a long, hard look at yourself and where you see your country going in this future.
Okay, okay, Barbara, thank you indeed. And a final word from Tina, because really, you know, frustration is the word of the last 12 months. It's now in absolute capital letters emblazoned on everyone's forehead, or most people's foreheads, regardless of their political perspective, because all of this does impact on us on our daily lives. Tina, do you believe that the politicians are aware of how frustrated the general public is?
Absolutely. And I think that they don't care, to put it bluntly, because if they did care, they'd find a way around it, as they have done many times before. I think where I'm sitting at the minute is my belief in that forcing direct rule upon the country will force the electorate into thinking differently, and it will force people into really asking themselves, are my politicians working for me? Are they representing my interests? Are they doing what's good for me and my children and the vulnerable people around me? Because the reality is, as Barb said, it's the vulnerable people who are going to be at the absolute worst of this. And those are the people whose services are being cut. I mean, even at my child's school, they were, you know, scrambling around trying to work out what they were going to do with a certain budget and you know, how they're going to make up for that. The PTA's been doing extra fundraising to try and help that. I mean, that level of, I suppose, stress shouldn't be pushed upon the institutions. And I mean, we know that our national health is already in a ridiculous state of affairs. And it's got beyond a joke. What's going to happen when something does come back, whether it's directory, whether it's Stormont? And what's going to happen with all of that money that should have been spent over the last year? Are we just going to forget about it? Are we going to have saved that money? Are they trying to save money? Maybe that's the whole point of this. They don't want to take the blame for cutting the budget. Who knows? I mean, the conspiracy theories are going mad at the minute. There are actually people out there who truly, truly believe that neither the DUP or Sinn Féin want an assembly to be up and running whilst Brexit is in order. And I mean, you have to sit back and ask yourself, well, is that true? Do you think that's the case? Because they've managed to get across all of these issues in the past numerous times, and they've got past worse issues in the past. What is different now? That's okay. What I can't understand.
Okay. Tina, thank you very much. Barbara, thank you indeed. Are you as frustrated as our commentators this morning? 90 333 105.